Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, November 28, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter How It Works. On page 61, we will be reading the first paragraph that starts with what usually happens through the sentence that ends rather than harmony. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Thursday, what a wonderful month, Crystal R., Anita L., Katie G., On the Steps, Cheryl S., Traditions, Kathy C., for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Carlene M., host, newcomer greeter, Chris W., and Nancy C. on announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, November 27th, 7 a.m., 21,949. That's 21949. And for yesterday's 10 a.m., 21,950. That's 21950. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Cheryl S. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Cheryl F. I will now ask for Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Kathy.
Good morning, family. This is Kathy C. from New York, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 traditions. Number one, our welfare should come first. Personal recovery recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do this service.
Thank you so much, Cassie C. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for leaders is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works. We are on page 61, the first paragraph, unpacking that one paragraph only, starting with what usually happens. And I'm going to ask Crystal R. to get us started. Go ahead, Crystal. Can't wait.
Good morning. What usually happens? The show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker, even when trying to be kind? Is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well? Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants? And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get out of the show? Is he not, even in his best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Good morning. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And as I was reading this paragraph, you know, I have so many examples of how I've been like the metaphorical director, you know, in my life. And I realized when I was reflecting on this paragraph that this year I actually got to be an actual director, because my I got married last year, and about 6 months into our marriage, my husband, who comes from a full family of teachers, decided that he really wanted to leave teaching and go into voiceover acting. And he's very talented, and he absolutely loves it. And when he shared that with me, like, immediately it became like my alcoholic thinking sort of kicked in, you know, and it was like, oh my gosh, my two beliefs as an alcoholic is just everything is about me and everything is on me. And so I stepped in to, quote, help, you know, I became his helper, and I started to direct him. Like, I was the director of the play, and he's the actor, you know. And within a month or so of him coming up with this idea, I researched all this stuff about the voiceover industry. I came up with a project plan for him of, like, this is how you can be successful in 3 months or less. And I researched courses for him, and I was like, you must go for this particular course. This is the best course there is. You have to go for this course if you want to be successful. And he really didn't want to go for that course, but he went anyways, because I was just so sure that was the best course. I drafted his voiceover demo script. None of these things have been asked of me. He did not ask me to do any of these things. I even sort of was like, you know, you should really consider commercial voiceover acting, because, you know, there's so much more out there than, you know, animation voiceover acting. I had all this very helpful advice. And it's funny, because his parents will always say, oh, Crystal's so helpful, it's so nice that she's helping you so much, you know. But the truth is that I know what's happening on the inside. The truth is, I am scared out of my mind. I am, all my financial security is threatened, my ambitions are threatened, and the only way I know how to respond to that is to jump in and try and fix it. And what I came to realize is I actually didn't help very much at all. Like, the course that I, you know, suggested that he goes for didn't help him very much at all. It was actually turned out to be not a very good course. We spent a lot of money on something that was not helpful. The course that he found for himself was actually very helpful. The script that I drafted wasn't actually helpful for him. The script he drafted was much, much better than the one I drafted. You know, and every time I give him some kind of suggestion, his actual industry coaches tell him to do the opposite. So I realized I'm not actually helping with any of this. I also realized that it's actually not about him. I don't actually want to help him. I just want to feel safe. And finally, the lie is that I know what's best. What's best is that he's successful, and that he is successful now in this career. But I don't know that. Just to stop on his journey. Maybe what's best for him is that he gets to have his own journey with this, that this is all just about him, that he gets to discover this in his own way, in his own time, makes his own mistakes, learns from. Thank you. And finally, just I'll say that in recovery today, I can now just leave him alone to do his thing. And I'm not his director, but his biggest fan instead. Thanks for letting me share it, Pass.
Thank you so much, Crystal R., for getting us started. All righty. So, although we value everyone's experience, strength, and hope, we ask that if you shared in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday, that you step aside so that others may share their experience, strength, and hope as well. So, who would like to share on what was read on page 61?
Bonnie, do you want to?
Okay,
all I heard was
Sarah F.
Harlan G. Claire E. Bonnie B.
Nancy P.
Ashley P. Chicago.
I've got
Sarah F.
Nancy P. Ashley.
Did you get Christina J.
Bonnie B. Christina J. Christina
Janice
J.
Sarah F.
Who was that B? Who was
Bonnie B.
Who was the P? I missed Bonnie. There we go. Bonnie,
Sarah,
Ashley P.
Janice.
In Chicago.
Yes, Ashley, I got you. Janice P. M.
Betty Ann from New York.
Betty Ann, New York. Okay, we're going to stop there. Okay, so here's who I have. Harlan G., Claire E., Nancy P., Ashley P., I think it was, Christina J., Bonnie B., Janice P.M., Sarah D., and Betty Ann. All right, let's go. Harlan G., you're up, followed by Claire E. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thank you for your service today. Happy holiday to everyone this morning who is celebrating. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that there are five character defects in a human being. They are selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentment, and fear. And there are many, many behaviors that stem from these defects of character. The last paragraph that we read yesterday, the script that we have in our head, we want to arrange everything, that is selfishness. Selfishness is the script that we have in our head that we want everyone to stick to. This paragraph that was read this morning is about the character defect of self-seeking. What is self-seeking? What is the difference? Very common question. The difference between selfish and self-seeking is exactly this. Selfish is the script that I have in my head. I know what's best for everybody. You stick to my script, we'll all be okay. Self-seeking are the behaviors that I exercise to get you to stick to my script. That is exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about the play doesn't suit him, admitting he may be someone at fault. He is sure that other people are more to blame. Then he becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. We engage in self-seeking. Sometimes we engage in it through kindness. Oh, I did this for you. Oh, I got this. Or sometimes we engage in self-seeking with meanness. Sometimes we engage in it by giving someone the silent treatment. Sometimes we engage in it by other various methods that we have of manipulation. But we are seldom engaged in a true conversation. What we are engaged in is image management and the management of another human being to try to get them to do what we want. In other words, are we not a victim of the delusion? What is a delusion? A delusion is something that appears real but indeed is not. That he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well. And then what it goes on to say is how transparent we are. Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants? People do not like to be manipulated. People do not like to be controlled. People do not like that. That's why the big book is written the way it is, and we have a lot to be grateful for today. But one of the things is Dr. Howard, the famous psychiatrist, came to Bill before publication and said, you cannot put out a book that says you must do this and you must do that. You have to come out with a book, not in the imperative, but in the declarative, that says these are the steps we took, these are the things we did, and that will go over, because an alcoholic is a perfectionistic, sensitive rebel. A sensitive, perfectionistic rebel, and they will not. They will not do what you tell them to do. They just will not. They are immature, sensitive, perfectionistic rebels. Okay, thanks, Amy. Happy holiday, everybody. Scottsdale, Arizona is my home. I forgot to say that. Thank you.
Hey, Harlan. Thank you. All righty. Let's keep rolling. Claire E., followed by Nancy P. Please go ahead, Claire.
Hi there, Amy. Thank you so much for hearing my voice and happy holidays to everybody celebrating. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater bulimic from the UK. I just, the whole actor thing, you know, this is what I suffer from, you know, in selfishness, self-centeredness, for sure, you know, because like the paragraph before, I believe I know what's right. I believe my perspective is truth, you know, and guess what? Everybody else believes that their perspective is true. So, you know, there's a discrepancy there. And then what usually happens? Well, things don't come off as I want them to. I'm the mum to three teenagers. I have tried, and I listened to a podcast once that was talking about, you know, it says we turn up with these different traits. We might be controlling, mean, egotistical, selfish, dishonest, but we might be super kind. We might be really permissive. We might be really easygoing. We might be all of these things. And particularly when I turn up with my best self, I expect the show to go how I want it to go because I'm being nice, you know. And they don't, sort of particularly my kids, they don't take good ball. You know, it doesn't work that way. And the very thing, it reminds me of Bill W. in his story when he talks about, you know, renewing his resolve and then he renews his resolve again. The very thing that didn't work, he tries harder. And, you know, that's what I'm guilty of. You know, the very thing that never worked in the first place. Right, I take a deep breath and I exert myself harder to make it work. And like's just been shared, I get manipulative, even by my people pleasing, my kindness, you know, that can be just as manipulative and controlling as throwing a hissy fit. And the sentence that really resonates to me most out of this paragraph is the victim of the delusion, a firmly fixed held belief despite evidence to the contrary, is my definition I've written down here from the dictionary. You know, I have a delusion that if I just manage well, I will be happy and satisfied. And that for me comes in the form of my to-do list, my business, keeping people happy, resting myself to behave how I want to behave, you know, my recovery going how I want it to go. You know, those things I believe will make me happy and satisfied. And actually the truth is those things make me behave in a very fear-based way. And they're exhausting. It says at the end of chapter 11, you know, it's exhausting going around trying to arrange life to suit ourselves so that I am comfortable. I cannot stand the thought of me suffering discomfort, so I have to try and arrange my ducks in a row so that I will rest satisfaction and happiness. And that is a way of living that will end up with me in the food. And the solution to this, you know, and I love the producer of confusion rather than harmony. One of the terminologies I've heard is shit wheeling. And I can do that. I can really spin, and it's just desperately confusing for everyone. I'm one thing, then another. And then, you know, the contrary to that is just surrendering. It really is. And getting out of the way, you know, letting the show evolve, letting other people have their roles. You know, I'm just an actor. Rehearse the lines I'm supposed to rehearse. Turn up at the time I'm supposed to turn up. Say the lines I'm supposed to say and let other people get on with it. You know, it's none of my business. Leave them alone. And when I do that, life is so much more harmonious for me and everybody else that I'm in contact with. So I this whole bit of writing here is just absolutely inspired. And I go back to it time and time again because I go back into that behavior time and time and time again. And it's this selfishness that's the problem for me. So thank you so much for listening. Happy holidays to everybody. And it's great to be on the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire E. from the UK. All right, Nancy P. followed by Ashley P. Nancy.
I'm back. Thank you. Good morning, Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. What usually happens? No, what always happens. You know, there are three mm-hmm. kind of places here that I identify with. And first of all, the word admitting. I've recently come to decide that I don't like that word. I don't like it in the first step. I don't like it here. I don't like it anywhere that it says, because the reason I don't like it is because it's grudging, you know, especially here. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault. I mean, really? You know, I don't care about how much at fault I am. I want to clean up where I've messed up. I do want to do that. And I can't admit that I'm a compulsive overeater. I have to embrace it. If I expect to recover, I need to embrace who I am so that I can, you know, fix what's wrong, get rid of what's wrong. And, you know, I've spent a lifetime with the attitude, well, maybe I made this one little mistake, but you have totally done much more. Or someone would try to say, you know, collectively, well, we all feel this way, or we're all getting older, or we're all, you know, we all screw up. And I say out loud, speak for yourself. You know, I feel fine, and only half joking. And so to me, admitting is the path to, you know, not recovering for me, because I barely admitted that I was a compulsive overeater. It was only when I embraced who I was that I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, and I'm never going to be anything different. I'm still a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, but I have a treatment plan in place so that I don't suffer from the consequences. And, you know, I've had things in my life where everything has gone my way, you know. I have an excellent life. I have a beautiful home. I have a lovely family. I live in a nice town. I don't want for anything. And somehow it doesn't seem like it's enough much of the time, or some of the time, not much of the time, but some of the time. And it's hard for me to sit on my hands and not go looking for something to make this wonderful life that I have better. I don't need to do that. My life is excellent. And, you know, I do tend to get into the mindset of, even today, as a recovered woman, and I am recovered, to fall into sometimes, you know, this other person isn't helping me. This other person isn't doing what I want. And I don't wanna get into those kinds of difficulties anymore. I don't want to be helpful where my help isn't necessary or wanted or asked for. I don't want to try to direct things when nobody asks me. And I don't want to do that anymore because I forget about the other person. That's bad enough how I affect them, but how it affects me is not good. I don't like it. I, you know, and I keep on top of it because I do a written 11-step inventory every single night, you know, and I can see what I've done over the day.
Fine.
And I can see, yes, I'll wrap up when, you know, when I need to correct. And there's only one thing that I can think of that's ever worked for me. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And whatever I get after that is what I need. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Ashley P., you're up, followed by Christina J. Please go ahead, Ashley.
Thanks so much. Hey, everyone. I'm Ashley P., recovered compulsive overeater in Chicago. Longtime listener, first time sharing, and grateful to be here. I absolutely love step three and this whole paragraph. Thank you. You know, this paragraph was just such an exhale for me. This step was such a exhale for me, like me realizing that I could stop just trying to manage my life by myself, you know, put down the food and essentially just like put my hands out to God and say, hey, like hold my hand, let's navigate this craziness together. Because, you know, when I came into the program, my life was really not going as planned, no matter how hard I tried. And some things were going as planned, but it was still so difficult. And I was filled with such, you know, anger and resentment and blame for everybody else besides me, right? Because I wasn't the problem. And, you know, I know now that when I'm so busy controlling, I'm really blocking the blessings that God wants to send me. And I love, you know, on the page before, that God could and would if he were sought. And it doesn't say this, but I think that it should. It should say that God should be the manager, you know, the director of our lives, because he just has such a bigger picture than we do. And I think of that analogy. I don't know if it's that finger trap where if you're, you know, you're resisting it, you can't, your fingers can't come out, but then if you finally just relax, you can pull it out quite easily. And so much of the suffering, you know, the unnecessary suffering that I've had in my life has happened as a result of my expectation and my resisting of what is. And this is where my defects come in, or, you know, the behaviors that are rooted in the defects, which I learned a great way to think about today. And, you know, that's what grows into that poison, that anger, resentment, that blame. That's what grows into that poison, this plant, you know, that I have to pray for God to remove so that that doesn't eat me up inside, you know, and lead me to the food. So yeah, surrender is the name of the game here. And I, like, every day I can count at least one, if not several examples of, wow, thank God I did not try to control this, because I could have never predicted this going this way, but obviously this is what God had in store for me. And it's just such a great way to live. And yeah, I'll end there. With that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Ashley P. from Chicago. Welcome aboard. All right, Christina J., followed by Bonnie B.
Good morning, everyone. Hi there. Good morning, Christina J. in North Carolina. Oh, my gosh. You know, yesterday I was like, okay, first pair, do I share on this one or the next one? And this next one is really how I tumbled deeper and deeper into the unmanagement of my own life. And I needed to do this. I came out of the womb and no one was going to help me reach my goals. And by God, I was going to go do it. And I got into what Harlan described as self-seeking. I had no idea I was self-seeking. I figured I deserved this. I needed to do it. I was going to take these talents and go show the world that they could love me. And I did exactly what it says here. The show didn't come off like I wanted to. I figured I needed to exert myself more. I needed to self-propel more. And gosh darn it, weren't they seeing how hard I was working? Didn't they see it? I was kicking ass. I was doing everything I could. I was spending all my money. So I started to get more angry, self-pitying. And I figured I just needed to work harder. I had a delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of the world if I only managed well. And what was wrong? What was I doing wrong? I lived in that for so many years, and I had a psychic tell me, it's going to take a lot of work
to get you to your goals. You're going to have to work really, really hard, and you need to be selfish. Oh, my God, I have no idea. Today, I don't live in this place. Today, finally, this year, I put this all down. I had to put it down in order to be free, in order to find neutrality with the food, because I was continually going to the food. Because I had this weight on my shoulders, on my back. God didn't give this to me. Why weren't you giving it to me? And I realized I had to surrender it. I had a beautiful soul and program that passed on, precious, precious woman in recovery. So, Christina, you need to give it all up. You need to give all what you thought your life was supposed to be up. And that horrified me. It horrified me. But now I'm so grateful. It's so peaceful to not have to do this. This was so exhausting. I was miserable for 60 years of my life in this thing. So today, I don't have to be there. And I used food the whole time. I was miserable. I was restless, irritable, discontent. I lived in fear. I would never get to where I was going. My life was completely unmanageable. But by God, I didn't think it was, because I was managing it, right? No human power could ever do it for me. No career. No nothing. No husband. No nothing. But food was always the thing that was going to save me, right? And take away my... No, it just made it worse. Made it worse and worse and worse. Oh, and today I have the 10th and 11th. I have you guys. I have a program. It's a miracle. I cannot suggest this to anyone enough. If you're out there and you're struggling, keep on coming. Like we hear on the lines, and I keep saying it every time, keep on coming. Because one day, this will all make sense. I had no idea what all this meant. Yeah, no idea. You know, how dare you tell me my life is not manageable? I've got that under... How dare you tell me I don't have a God? I have got one. Anyway, today, if I work it, I can keep those things in my life. Thank you for letting me share. Love you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Okay.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Bonnie B., followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, friends. I can't think of a better place to be than here. Oh, my goodness. Thanks for your service, Amy. Thanks for the beautiful opening, Crystal, and for all the shares. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God today in the state of Florida. So this is what jumped out to me. He begins to think. He decides. He becomes. He becomes. He wants. That's what was jumping out to me this morning. And my thoughts as I was like pondering this was, I have a thinking disease. This is a problem because I begin to think. And then my thoughts go a certain direction. And you're not getting me off of that train. And we can see it in this paragraph, right? It builds upon itself. It's self-seeking to the core. It's self-pity. It's self-absorption. I got a game plan, and the game plan is to feel good. And at all costs, you're a part of that plan. You need to show up looking a certain way in order for me to be at peace today. But this is my reality. I can't have two thoughts in my head at the same time. I've tried. It doesn't work. Either I'm thinking about me and what I want and my plans and how I want today to play out, or I'm thinking about God and His will and how He'd like me to show up today. One requires that I die to myself, and the other one is me living in a position of playing God all over the place. Very interesting, because this morning I've had... I have conflict with our oldest daughter at this point, and I've worked it through the steps many times, and she sent me a Gmail this morning, and it was not in my script. And I immediately took it into a 10th step, and I said, as I was praying this morning, thinking, there's no mistake that this happens to be the paragraph that we're studying today. God knows exactly what He's doing. The gift of the program for me is to pause, take a deep breath, invite Him back in, and surrender all of it to Him. In order to pause, I have to get out of myself. I have to toss it back up in that third step prayer. And basically, God says to me on a regular basis, stand down, take a step back, pivot, lean in, look up, give it back to me. I got this thing. I know exactly what's going on. But if I stay inside of my head, all roads lead back to, I want to feel good. And you're responsible to make me happy. And it goes back to the self-pity. So the opposite of self-pity for me is gratitude, and this is the base of this whole program. And with that, I am so grateful for each of you for the gift of program and for this beautiful day. Thanks for your service, and I hope you guys all have a blessed Thanksgiving. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Janice T.M., you're up.
And thank you so much, Amy. And like I said, thankful day to you and to all that are here and not here for this program. Yeah, my name is Janice P.M., and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm especially grateful today for everything because my life is so changed. You know, when I first came in, you know, admitted I was powerless. Well, of course, I could admit, but I wasn't as bad as the alcoholics, you know, because I just was still functioning, so I thought. So when I finally accepted my powerlessness, because I said I was powerless, but I wasn't. I was still controlling and fixing and managing others, you know, to my desire, my will. Not anybody else's will, not your will, not God's will, because I didn't even think about God's will because I was so important, the self-center of the universe. And so when I finally had enough pain, and that's what it is for me to really accept, you know, complete defeat, then I can surrender my self-will. So all it tells me to do, nothing more than make a decision. Well, what's that decision? I mean, what do you mean? How? What are you talking about? I made the decision. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll turn my will. But that's, no, it's a make a decision to continue with these rest of these steps. And I can't do that if I'm not completely defeated. And I had no other ideas left. I did this, I did that, I had, you know, everything except having my teeth, you know, with braces by my husband, but, you know, didn't want to do that, you know, and I was running my whole life. I thought I was the director because I inherited that, you know, daycare center, and of course I was directing. So I turned it over and did it with everybody else. And my food, and it was, the food was down, but I still could not manage my life. And they told me that you need another power, Janice. Oh, you need, you know, and what they would say of your own understanding. And I didn't know how to connect the dots with a power greater than me. But through these steps, I'm so glad I made that decision in step three to go on with these steps. But in order to have go make that decision, because I made decisions, but I made the decision still leaving out what I wanted to leave out and do what I wanted. Enough emotional pain. That was it. And failed attempts at my life, at my food plan, at everything that I did. I was a failure, you know. And then I became willing, you know, to right. Surrender, yes, to God's will for my life, for my actions. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Okay, just a friendly reminder, folks, we are on page 61 in the chapter How It Works, the first paragraph. We're going to go with Sarah D. and Betty Ann and then take some more names. Okay, Sarah, you're up. Please go ahead. Sarah D, are you there? Press star one to unmute. Are you sure I heard it, Sarah?
Are you talking about Dara F?
Okay, maybe that was it, Dara. Were you trying okay. to get in there?
I certainly was. Well, thank you. Okay, I was just thinking about how this applies to Thanksgiving. I am a mother of four semi-grown children and a husband who I've always played like the caretaker director role. I make all the doctor's appointments. I organize everybody's lives. I make sure everybody goes where they need to go. And when people disappoint me in my family, I get very upset. I'm known as the nag. Everybody likes my husband more than they like me because I've put myself in this position of the director. So today I'm making a Thanksgiving dinner for my family, like probably most other people are as well. And what I'm really trying to do is to not just make it so that I can, like, have everybody praise me. Ooh, what a great dinner. And, you know, that I get all the ego trip from doing all this work. And see, I told you everything I do is important and useful and stuff like that. And you guys are all lazy loafers and I'm better than everybody else. That's how I play the director. But instead, I'm just trying to make a nice meal for my family because that's what God wants me to do. And I'm making a pumpkin pie, and I'm bringing it to my hospice. I'm a hospice companion, and I'm bringing it to my hospice client this morning. And I feel really wonderful about doing that. Her husband's always so happy when I show up. And it's just when I think about my attitude about preparing this Thanksgiving dinner for my family. And one of my sons is bringing over a friend whose parents are out of town. So I feel like I'm taking somebody in. I'm doing service today rather than showing off. And I think that's one thing that Thanksgiving is about. It's about loving and giving. And yes, I have to do actions, but no, I don't have to be the director. I don't have to control everybody's reactions. I don't have to make sure that everybody tastes every dish or else I'm not happy. I don't have to be controlling and manipulative. I can if I want, but instead I can invite God into this holiday and I can love the people who are around me and I can lovingly prepare a meal for my family and friends. And I hope everybody else has a lovely Thanksgiving, and thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dara. And where are you from, Dara? I didn't catch it.
I'm from Dara F. from Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dara. All right, Betty Ann from New York, and then we're going to take a couple more names. Betty Ann?
Hello, it's Betty Ann from New York. Yes, it's me. I had trouble unmuting. Okay. I have a lot of self-will. This past month, it's been a very rough patch for me and my family. First of all, I broke my hip, and I'm having a long recovery. And it led to a lot of financial difficulties. And it's one thing after another. And every day I ask God for help. And I think God doesn't care about me. And what can I do to fix it? And I'm the director and all that. And you know what? God has shown me and my husband and my family that in every crisis, it comes time, things work out. And I say, see, God had your back. And he worked out one thing after another thing after another thing. Now my son has a wound on his leg that we have to see an infectious disease doctor, which is scaring the daylights out of me. But I think God will help us. And I have to stop doubting God. That's the thing. I doubt. I say, oh, God, you don't care about us, and you're not listening to me, and please, please help. And every day I pray, every day I have quiet time. And you know what? It's working. But I want to believe when the next problem comes that I can trust that God will be there. And I just have to keep telling myself that every single day. And financially, we're getting out of a hole. And I never thought that would happen. But it is. It's happening. So, happy Thanksgiving. I want to be grateful today. I'm making an abstinent Thanksgiving dinner for us. And I'm very grateful for that. And I wish everyone a happy abstinent Thanksgiving. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Betty Ann, New York. Yep. For continued healing for you. Okay, so we are on page 61, the first paragraph. We have time for probably three shares, I would say. Who would like to
Anita
share?
J.
What was read?
Anita J.
Nicole S.
Connie
S. Marcia D.
Connietta.
Nicole F. Who was that? Connie.
Connietta.
No, before Hanietta, sorry, there was somebody else I keep missing.
Bonnie N.
Bonnie N?
Honey, with an H.
Oh, Honey, gotcha. Bonnie N. Okay, let's go with you three, and if there is enough time, Hanietta, I'll try to get you in there. Okay, go ahead, Anita. Anita J.
Ready? Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jamie. This is Anita J. Recovered in Massachusetts. You know what? Theater, that was my original love. I felt more comfortable being somebody else than me. And I thought I had all that behind me. I also thought, when I discovered directing, that I liked it even more than acting. And now this big book, it's a miracle, isn't it? It tells you exactly who you are and why you behave this way. Well, I've recently had a little relapse in this way. Not the food. I'm talking the director, the script writer, my script. This Thanksgiving is not going to be as the others were. It'll be the same food. My daughter will prepare it. She would never give me anything that she thought I couldn't have. But my son, who I'm not sure, I think I mentioned, I've been turning over because he hasn't been following my script, but I hadn't thought of it that way. And anyway, I am just... sometimes obsessing about him instead of hand him over. You've been handing him over for decades, you know, and he just, it's simple. There's no new thing to do. You pray for him, you love him, and you turn him over. You don't control. I was so subtle at my control, you know, that I didn't realize what I was doing. And, but I know all that now, and I know that I can't think my way out of it. God'll do it if I'll just let go. In fact, he's probably doing it right now. And so I just want to say, this day will be as good as I let God, as I allow God to make it. And so no reins for me. I don't want to be riding a horse into the whatever. So happy Thanksgiving, or turkey. Happy Thanksgiving all, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. Where are you from again, please? I missed that. And I guess Massachusetts, but I'm not sure. Okay, well, no worries. Nicole S.?
Massachusetts.
I was right.
Yes.
I thought so. All right,
okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Anita. All right, Nicole, you're up, followed by Bonnie. Go ahead, or Honey, sorry. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole S., recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you for your service, Amy. And I love this paragraph. You know, I can be demanding or gracious, and I can go, you know, be angry, indignant, self-pitying. You know, my basic trouble is that I'm a self-seeker, and I think that, you know, where it says I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage well, and I put so much pressure on myself that I have to manage well, and that means I have to fix, manage, control everything and everybody around me, constantly arranging the lights, the scenery, the people, to be as, you know, in my mind as I think is right. And then as soon as anything is out of place, you know, my serenity is out the window. And, you know, it struck me one time of just like the actor is to play the part that the producer has, the director has. The actor should not be running the show, and it's just exhausting trying to run the show, and you know, and I put so much that pressure just when I put so much on me of managing well, and then you know it's going to be on everybody else, putting that pressure on them too, and then you know that last part of this paragraph, then they want to retaliate because yeah, nobody likes to be controlled, and including me. And I just had a quote that I hung above my my kitchen sink that it says something to the effect of serenity occurs when we take responsibility for our own lives and let others take responsibility for theirs. And when I can really live in that and really let God be my director. Let God be the director of the universe, the director of everybody and everything around me. So much more serenity occurs. And so grateful for this program that when I do fall back on this, you know, trying to control and manage well, I have 10 steps. I have people to talk to that I can get out of that and realize what my role is. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole F. from Colorado. All right, so Hani N, looks like you're going to take us out. You've got 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Hani N, recovered in Miami. Happy to be here. I've heard so many just amazing shares. Definitely the queen of self-seeking and the delusion that really it's for everybody's good. You know, if everyone just follows my script, all will be well. And people think I'm a good person, so I must have good intentions, right? And I came to believe very quickly and came to realize very quickly that, you know, this program, as someone pointed out to me, it's not about bad people trying to be good. It's about sick people trying to get well, you know? And the one place where my self-seeking motivation didn't work really was with my sponsor, you know, and trying to get away with everything because my intentions were well. Well, I missed the meeting because I was trying to do this good thing for my family, or I was trying to do that, and nobody understands me, but there's a way to get recovered here. And when you take a third step, it's not just about putting the food down and giving the food to God. It's everything. It's we turn everything over. I thank God for that. I needed this meeting today. I needed to remember that I don't need to use this defect anymore. You know, I really don't. It used to be something that protected me because, you know, I wanted to eat in comfort and I wanted to eat in silence and peace. And I realized, you know, seeking food allowed me to do that. I didn't need everyone else's judgment, you know, or faces. There's no more hiding. There's no more trying to pretend. And I just am so grateful. I'm so grateful for all the shares. Thank you.
Thank you so much, honey. And where are you from?
Florida.
I didn't get Florida. Okay, awesome. Thank you. All right. We have, well, it's less than a minute. I don't think that's going to work. Honey, hopefully you can share at the next hour. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study. Immediately following this closing, the share ID for today, Thursday, November 28, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,952. That's 21952. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Anita L., will you please read a vision for you?
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving to all who celebrate. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you